Bibles, if you will, tonight, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're looking at Satan inspires and promotes his own counterfeit Bibles. We were bound to get here, right? As we're looking at the doctrines of Satan, of course, we have to look at what he's doing with his own counterfeit Bibles out there. So if you look at Deuteronomy 18, we're going to look at verses 20 through 22. It says, "But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even the prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your love, for your mercy, for your grace towards us. We're thankful for salvation in Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you that I know that I can have your word, that I can hold it in my hands, that I can study it, that I can and meditate upon it, that I could preach it, I could teach it. And I just thank you for that, knowing for sure that it is your word. And I pray, Father, as we look at this tonight, I pray that we'll see more about why there are counterfeit Bibles out there. And we know it's because Satan has put in the heart of man to go against your word. We thank you for what you're going to do tonight. We thank you for each one here tonight. And looking forward to what you have for us now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at Ezekiel now. We're going to look at a few verses and then we're going to get into breaking some of this down. But Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Pretty easy to see that if somebody says, "Thus saith the Lord," and it doesn't come to pass, it obviously isn't the Lord saying it. But Ezekiel 13, starting in verse 6, says, "They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, The Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God, and mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God." Then look at Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 28. Ezekiel 22 and verse 28 says, "And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken." The last one we should look at now is Jeremiah 23. Starting in verse 25. Going through verse 36. Starting in verse 25 of Jeremiah 23. "I have heard what the prophet said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them that can cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet, and the priest, and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? And then verse 36, and the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. And that's exactly what all these counterfeit Bibles, right? I've called them perversions of the Word of God for years because I believe that's what they are. And people will argue that point with you if you go there with them, but the fact of the matter is that's what they are. As Satan has come up with his counterfeit Bibles, he's put in the heart of man to go against God's Word and change it. And no matter what you do, God's Word still stands. Doesn't matter what you do to it, it's still going to stand. God said, I will preserve my Word. And he has. And thank God we have an accurate Bible for the English-speaking people in the King James Version. And we need to not turn from it. There's too many of those that are doing that these days. And I'm going to pick on the Independent Baptists because that's what I are, right? Even Independent Baptists are turning their back on the King James Version of the Bible. And they're buying into the lie. Well, the other ones are easier to read. No, they're not. And one of my favorite lines I learned from a preacher friend of mine in Texas, he said, if it's hard for you to read the Word of God, it helps to know the author. And it's true. Because the Holy Spirit will help guide you through it. But first, there are the complete counterfeit Bibles. The most obvious examples of satanic counterfeits of the Bible would be books like the Satanic Bible and occult books. People go, well, there's no such thing as a Satanic Bible. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Satan's out there. Everything that God does, Satan has a counterfeit for. So yes, Satan has those out there. Slightly less obvious and therefore more dangerous example would be the scriptures of non-Christian religions such as the Quran, the Hadith of Islam, or Hindu Vedas. Any of those would also be less obvious, but still very much so. I've spoken to several people. I have not actually read the Quran. I don't care to. I don't need to know all the false stuff if I know the truth. I can determine false from knowing the truth. And so I don't need to do that. But everybody I've talked to that's read it says, man, evil and wickedness abounds in those books. Why do we need to be a part of it? An even less obvious and therefore even more dangerous example would be the scriptures of the pseudo-Christian cult, such as the Book of Mormon. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I was a kid, Mormons didn't want to be known as Christians. They wanted to be known as Mormons or Latter-day Saints. They didn't want to be known as that. The writings of the Jehovah Witnesses. You called a Jehovah Witness when I was a kid a Christian, and they'd about take your head off. They didn't want to be called that. Today, they all want to be known as Christians. Isn't it interesting? What changed? Has it become more popular to be a Christian? Let's face it, folks, we are being persecuted. Is it more popular to be a Christian today No, it's not. But yet they want to be known now. How about Christian Science, all of which claim to be Christian today? When I was a kid, they were all known as cults. Today, they want to be known as Christian. Second, there are the counterfeit Bible books. There are those who accept the 66 books of the Bible, but add their own additional books, claiming that these were lost or left out of the original 66 books of the canon of Scripture. The Roman Catholic Church added in 1596 the Apocrypha to the Scriptures. In 1596 AD, these books are all additions to the Old Testament, but were never accepted by the Jews. They were also never accepted by Christians for the first 16 centuries of church history. All of a sudden, they want to add them. God's Word says we're not supposed to add to or take away from, right? People say, well, yeah, but that wasn't there until 1611. No. Remember, we got our translation in 1611. Prior to that, God's Word was still written in different form, right? And so it had to be translated for us to have. So even though they had what God's Word said, and one of my favorites is when they come to your doorstep, of course we don't get them anymore, as I've told you, our house has the plague or something, but when they'd come to the doorstep and they'd start talking about this, that, and the other thing, and I'd say, this is what the Word of God says, and then they'd say, yes, but, you know, the Book of Mormon, I said, okay, what do you do with it says not to add to or take away from? Well, there's been new revelations. Wait a minute, don't add to or take away from. And they say, but that's only the Book of Revelation. No, it's not. This is the entire Word of God. He's talking about the entire Word. Don't add to or take away from. And yet, many do that. These books were not considered Scripture by the Catholic Church until after the Protestant Reformation was underway. The cry of the Reformers was sola scriptura, meaning that Scripture alone, not the Pope or the Church, was the source of authority for Christian doctrine. The Reformers were pointing out that many doctrines of Romanism, such as prayers for the dead, were not found in Scripture. The papacy countered by adding additional books to the Bible which did contain these doctrines. Why would you need to pray for the dead? They're already dead, right? Their eternity is already sealed, right? You have to make your choice while you still have breath. Once you die, eternity is sealed. You're in one of two places, heaven or hell. It doesn't matter how much you pray, it's not going to change that. So why do they pray for the dead? The difficulty is that books of the Apocrypha are filled with historical errors, obvious forgeries, fanciful mythologies, teachings that contradict biblical books, and actual internal statements in some of these books stating that they are not inspired. Note, the subject is addressed in much further detail when I go over the doctrines of the Bible. There are also modern groups who claim that certain supposedly lost, quote-unquote, books of the Bible contain lost teachings that the Christian church has suppressed. These books were lost. They were rejected by the Lord's churches. It is true that Christians have suppressed the teachings in these books, but this is because these teachings are the product of false heretics, such as the Gnostics, who were opposed by Paul and John in Scripture. But see, Satan has put in the heart of man that anything that's anti-God is a good thing, right? So if God says one thing, Satan puts in the heart of man to say something contrary, and people flock to it. It's amazing. I've said for years, people will flock to lies when the truth is spelled out for them, and they would rather have the lies. Well, isn't it more palatable when you hear stuff like I mentioned the other day in a conversation with a gal that everybody worships the same God, they just do it in a different way. Doesn't that sound palatable to the ear? It's just not true. I mean, there's no truth in that statement at all. We're not all worshiping the same God. When people are out there following after Satan and false religions and stuff like that, they're not following the same God. When they reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they reject Jesus Christ as God, they are not serving or following or praying to the same God that I do. There's no way that they can. There are also many other early Christian writings which are not heretical, but which are also not scripture and never claim to be so. Thirdly, there are the counterfeit Bible versions. Ever since the devil changed the wording of God's original command to man in his first attack on man, Genesis 3:1, he has been inspiring men to change the wording of the scriptures to support false teachings. Over and over and over, you can do a whole study on all the different perversions of the Bible if you want, but I can tell you, first and foremost, the one that I always like to pick on is the NIV, because it's so easy. Professed homosexuals and lesbians translated that Bible, that version, that perversion of the Word of God. What does God say about that activity? Why would he use them to translate his word, first of all? Second, I liked after they were done with it and they printed it and put it out there, they said, we're going to retranslate it and this time we're going to get it right. Doesn't that give you a warm fuzzy inside like they might get it right the second time? I doubt it. I like the old story, if it's not broke, don't fix it. The history of Bible manuscripts is a history of a battle between God's preserved word. Psalm, look at Psalm 12, 6 through 7. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. Says, the words of the wicked one to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. That's not right. What was that?
That's not Psalm 12. I don't know which one that was.
Proverbs 12. I was like, that's not even right. Okay. Wrong book. Helps when you're in the right book. Psalms 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. Okay, here we are. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God said he's going to take care of preserving his word, and he is very much so. He also says over in Matthew, not one jot or one tittle will not be fulfilled until the law and no wise shall pass till all the law is fulfilled. And Satan corrupts texts. A false religion of the Samaritans produced the corrupted text of the Samaritan Pentateuch to oppose the Jewish text and the worship of God as the Jewish temple at the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Jesus said to the woman at the well, right? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship, right? The woman at the well is speaking to Jesus there and saying, but wait, you know, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Now you're telling us that we have to go to Jerusalem. Well, who's got the truth? You know, I've been told for years, you don't have to go to church to worship God. And that's a true statement, right? Would anybody deny that being a true statement? You can worship God anywhere. I mean, wouldn't it be sad if the only time we could worship God is when we met together in this house? That would be a tragedy in my book, because I like to worship God all week long. But will people worship God when they don't come here? As a general rule. Probably not. Had a guy one time tell me, I can worship God skiing down the ski slopes on Sunday morning just as well as I can in a church pew. I said, I beg to differ with you. While you're skiing down that slope, you're probably not even thinking about God. The early Gnostics and Arians, who both denied the deity of Christ, purposefully altered biblical texts in the New Testament Greek manuscripts to support their heresies. A major weakness of modern textual criticism is that it fails to take these purposeful corruptions into proper account when attempting to determine which manuscripts accurately reflect the original text. For example, a manuscript known to have been produced by a leading Arian and which consistently weakens the deity of Christ should be viewed with suspicion. However, some such texts were and are considered to be the best, quote unquote, by those who produce the modern critical Greek text used for most modern translations. Over and over and over, they do everything they can to diminish the deity of Christ, first of all of those different ones. My favorite one that I've heard about, and I have not picked one up, I have not read it, I have not even had a desire to get one, but I heard of the gender-neutral Bible. So God is no longer he or him. Jesus is no longer the Son of God, because you can't be a male figure in a gender-neutral Bible. I said, but God said God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So how do you get past what God said? But see, again, man has gone out of his way to try and corrupt the Word of God, and it's all about getting rid of the deity of Christ. That's what it comes down to. Because that's what Satan wants done. Satan is a master counterfeiter, and Satan will do anything he can to try and get people from worshiping God and serving God to worshiping him and serving him. Because that's what he wants. We need to be careful. All right, we're out of time, so we'll pick up on this next week, Lord willing.